Hey everybody, welcome to the Context Machine, episode 628. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, the script says that I should tell you to check us out at our new home at contextmachine.io. I have fulfilled my contractual obligation.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. You can find us on Post. You can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine.
Hey, Brian, we have a sponsor today.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's LinkedIn Jobs.
That's great. Glad to have them. We're going to tell you about them later in the show. And I think we should probably point out that we are both... Are you most active on Mastodon still or Blue Sky?
I am most active on Mastodon.
I am most active on Threads, and by which I mean I've made two posts on Threads and one reply, and then a post on Blue Sky. I'm not good at the posting, man.
Look at you. You know, honestly, posting is really hard right now because there's so many social networks and you have to decide which ones you're going to invest time in. And I think the whole thing is just becoming overwhelming and it's making it hard to just post.
Well, yeah, I would say that's a very strange sound that came out of me, but I would say that my problem is that there are so many smart people writing about the things that I'm interested in that I tend to just consume content. I don't tend to make
There's nothing
it.
Wrong with that, Brian.
Well, yes, there is, because breaking news, I'm going to publish my book.
All right. So now that's a totally different thing. It's okay for you to be happy consuming content, but breaking news, and I'm so excited about this breaking news, Brian. I'd say you have no idea how excited I am, but you know me well enough. You probably know exactly how excited I am that you're going to publish your book.
And thank you.
We will work on it so that you are getting content out on social media about your book.
The interesting thing is I've told people my plans. They ask me what do you need to do, and the first thing I'll say is have been posting on social media for the last several years.
The thing is though, posting on social media for the past several years probably isn't as big a deal now as it was even a year ago, because the whole social media landscape has completely gone crazy on us.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're all new on so many of these platforms. So don't feel bad about it. Just know that we will work to make sure that you are present on social media and people on all of these different platforms know about you. We may have to mobilize our minions.
Yes.
Our contextuals.
The many, many, many ones of listeners that we have.
All three of you.
Like I said, this actually is breaking news because I literally haven't said this publicly anywhere, but publishing my book, I'm going to call it Accidental Intelligence. We'll be finding out more about what the book's about.
I am so excited for this. People, just so you know, I was a beta reader on the book. Is it okay for me to tell people that? Because yes. I just did.
Yes. You were a very important beta reader. You encouraged me to finish it.
Well, I'm glad I could be a part of that. And I'm bringing this up not because I'm doing a brag or a humble brag thing. It's because I can say with authority that this is a really fun book. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to more books to that Explore Mason's adventures.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all your support, and looking forward to sharing this book with the world. And yeah. So, speaking of books, unfortunately,
I see what you did there.
The segue actually makes sense.
sort of, loosely.
But we did mention Foundation last week. You know, speaking of Foundation, having watched the title sequence for Foundation, Apple TV's show, since I looked at Apple's invite for its
September 12th media event.
Yes.
Or keynote event thing.
Yes. Yeah. I really feel that it's just a play on that. That it's just a play on the title sequence.
Totally could be.
Or, and this could be breaking news too, it's not because it's made up, but it could be. So what if Apple is going to introduce products that just blow away with time until it's gone and you have to buy more?
Almost like a subscription service.
Yes. Yeah, right. So I don't think that's going to be the case or anything. And in I also don't think, by the way, that it has anything to do with Vision Pro, because I don't think Vision Pro is – I think Vision Pro will get its own media event for its release date, which isn't going to be until later this year or next year at the earliest.
Yeah.
So yeah. This should be – The iPhone and the Apple Watch and maybe some new iPads. Maybe.
I don't know. I'm feeling like we tend to get bigger iPad announcements in the spring. But yeah, we
iPhones
and iPad announcement.
It maybe, but iPhones and Apple Watches.
Yeah, I think that's a really safe bet.
And that effect that they used, can you put a link to that in the show notes? To the media.
God, event? I have to do everything.
Yes but oh will you?
God, yeah. Okay. Hold on, I have to write this down. Fracking media event link.
They,
because Brian is too lazy to do it himself. Got it.
It could be an effect that will be on, say, a new Apple Watch face. I kind of like this. I now like this idea the most. But anyway, there. That's a revisiting the media event. And meanwhile, we have books, because Foundation was a book. and we...
Do you remember Mr. Toad's Wild Ride? That's kind of what this is like.
And we just saw episode 8 of season 2, and we're both just nuts about the show in season 2.
Yeah, I'm feeling like episode 8, season 2, is one of the best episodes of the series so far. I genuinely enjoyed it. I mean, I've been enjoying the whole series,
yeah.
But season 2 kicked it up from season 1, and this last episode, it took it up another notch or three. I really enjoyed episode 8.
I agree with that. And in particular, I have enjoyed the Empress.
Yes,
enjoyed the Empress more in earlier episodes, from the standpoint of her, you know, the peculiar way that she kind of tilts her head up when she's talking a lot. And I just find that captivating. But the person that stood out the most for me in this episode was Day, the middle emperor.
Day. Okay, I'm with you. Yeah, Day was, I think, highlighted in a really good way in this episode.
He comes off as so... so regal, Like, there is something I love this guy. And I also love the fact that he has a very different persona when he's in public, referring to the character, not the actor. Mm-hmm. And the character is, you know, like when he's in public, he always moves very slow and regally,
mm-hmm.
except for when he's being attacked. And when he's in private, he will move a little more naturally. And I love that little attention to detail, that little attention to perception is everything. And they don't talk about it at all. That's the thing I love about it most. They just make it a thing.
Yeah, it's yes, I'm with you on that. Part of the regal thing.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how he positions himself when he sits?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the man wears a robe like nobody's business. And I kind of feel like they're doing a little bit of a either Greek or Roman, probably of a Greek reference for like that armor that he's been wearing in the last couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Now, mind you, there are other very important things that move ahead in this episode, if you haven't seen it yet. And we're being very careful not to do any spoilers.
Yes.
But there are some very important things with Gale and Savo's storyline. That stuff's moving along. It's very interesting. The Harry Seldon's storyline was also very interesting in this particular episode. It's mm-hmm. the whole thing. And so was Brother Constant and her boyfriend.
And I'm totally forgetting his name.
Mallow. Something. Tober Mallow. Right?
Hober.
Hober. Yes. Hober Mallow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. The storylines were advanced. They were advanced well. The storylines with Day and Dusk were also advanced. And mm-hmm.
Dawn, some.
Yeah, so was it Dawn? Oh, I said Day and Dusk, didn't I? I meant Dawn and Dusk. So,
but you were also right with Day and Dusk.
Yeah, Day's storyline advanced the most, but Dawn and Dusk also advanced, and so did I forget her name, the robot.
I'm with you. I always forget her name.
Robot. Foundation. What? Demerzel. Demerzel.
Demerzel.
Demerzel.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Her storyline sort of got advanced too. Man, there was just lots of good stuff in this episode.
It was a really good episode. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. And I feel like at this point the show is better than the books.
I agree.
Especially from the standpoint of giving us a nuanced storyline. I don't think they're changing a lot, but they're certainly adding a ton of depth.
Yes. I feel like the TV series is telling the Foundation story in a much more compelling way than the book did.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to Mule's storyline, which I'm assuming is going to be next season.
That's what I'm assuming also.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, good stuff. Just good stuff all the way around. We really like it. But when we were talking about this pre-show, you mentioned hating on IMDb, and I'm here for that.
Yes. And I didn't elaborate on why I chose to start hating on IMDb. Specifically, before the show.
So, I'm assuming it's because IMDb has progressively sucked more since Amazon bought it.
Yes. At this point, using IMDb is, as Steve Jobs would have said, a bag of hurt. And it's just frustrating, and I really don't like using it at all. And I know you don't like using it, so I have a new option for you, Brian.
Okay.
And everyone, Brian has no idea where I'm going with this.
I think you mentioned this last time. You were talking about another app, right?
Yeah, but you forget stuff from week to week, so it's fine.
Okay. Go.
Call Sheet. Everyone needs to go download Call Sheet.
Okay, you definitely mentioned this last week.
Oh, well, I don't remember things from week to week. Well, we're going to talk about it again because it's that important.
I've actually downloaded it even.
Oh, good. Good. All right. So for those of you that haven't listened to last week's show yet, first, what's wrong with you? And then second, here's the recap. iPhone and iPad app written by Casey Liss. And you probably know his name because he's from the Accidental Tech podcast. And really cool guy. And like us, he was tired of the IMDb crap. So here's this app, $10 a year. And yes, I paid my $10 right away because it's that good. So you can do all your searches. It's much easier. It's much cleaner. And I love that you can go into settings and disable stuff that would otherwise be shown so you can save yourself from spoilers. Absolutely awesome app.
Where's he getting his data?
The data is, hold on. He's actually using multiple sources. So the main content is coming from, what is it? Movie Now? Crap. I don't remember which service is coming from. It's not coming from,
he's not just pulling it from IMDb. Okay. Cause that would not sit right with me.
No. Now there are, bits of data that do come specifically from IMDb, and it's obvious when it's coming from there because it actually loads the correct IMDb page for you. And there's some data for another part that comes from a different service. And so what it does is it actually loads that service for you. And it's very clear where it's pulling stuff from these other services so that it doesn't appear that Call Sheet is just scraping and stealing data because it's not.
Okay, so I did just pay for it, and the interface is infinitely cleaner and wow, just like directly giving me the information that I want.
Right. It just shows you what you want. And if there are TV shows that you're currently watching that you know you're going to reference stuff as the shows are happening right afterwards, pin that stuff. So instead of having to go and do a search each time, you just got the shows or movies that you're currently watching pinned right there so you can just hop right in.
Huh. I feel like I could have like a million pins that I then have to scroll through.
Well, you probably could. And all that means is that you can watch a lot of stuff.
Why hasn't IMDb? Oh, I mean, IMDb, this is like a contemporary version of what IMDb was many years ago.
Yeah, in many ways it is.
And so why has IMDb seemed so determined to make their app useless? I know you don't have the answer to that, but.
Oh, I can give you an answer because what it is a platform for delivering ads, and they entice you into the ads by interspersing bits of information that should be useful, but are just frustrating. Mm-hmm. So it's an ad delivery platform.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And this is
used to be.
This is an app that is paid for by the users. And let's hope that he gets enough subscribers to make it worth his while. Because $10 a year is not a lot of money.
I agree. It's not a lot of money.
You can pay by the month, $1 a month. So $12 a year. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
which is also very reasonable.
So, all right, I'm going to give you some tips on using this, Brian.
Okay.
Okay. So, actually, I'm going to go and find Foundation and pin that okay. since we've been talking about it. Foundation.
Right now.
There it is. Foundation.
Yep.
And I'll pin it from the pin at the top. Okay. So when you're looking at the Foundation page right now, mm-hmm. you can see the art for it. You can see the rating. There's a more button right beside the more button. There's another little button that I think looks like sort of like a talk button.
Yeah, that takes me to IMDb.
Yeah, well, you want that to give you something that's more valuable, right?
Yes.
Because why would you want that to take you to IMDb? Okay, so hop back out so that you're at the main page for the app and tap the gear icon in the upper left-hand corner.
Okay.
And then tap on Quick Access Link.
Quick Access Link, which has a different icon.
Uh-huh. So now choose what you want it to actually show you. So what it's set for right now is trivia, which comes from IMDb. I changed it to where to watch so that if it's a show that like maybe not be current, but it's something I want to keep track of, or I'm just looking up, I tap that and it'll show me all the places I can find that show.
Okay, I see the value in that choice. I chose to start off with Wikipedia because I tend to know where the shows that I'm looking up are being played. But I see,
and that totally makes sense.
I see wanting to, and I might well change that if it turns out that that's not the case.
Yeah. Well. Set it to what you want. And that's the great thing. That button can be what you want it to be. So, All right. So when you're actually in a show, where it says when the next episode is, mm-hmm. and you tap on that, it'll do the math and tell you. Okay. So like if you're looking at Foundation.
Okay. Yes.
And on the left, you've got the show art. And then on the right, it has the release and the rating and all that. Tap on that. And it'll tell you just how far away that actually is.
Okay, it says 16 hours ago.
Yeah, because it came out today. But it actually came out last night.
So why doesn't it say for episode 9?
Because the next episode was supposed to drop today and they dropped it early. Tomorrow, it'll show the next episode.
Okay.
It'll be for episode 9.
All right, fair enough. Speaking of which, by the way, Babylon 5 has apparently a movie coming out. Who knew?
I did, and it's already out.
Oh.
It's okay.
August 15th.
People are really enjoying it. I haven't watched it yet because... I think you still have to buy it to watch it, and I just haven't gotten around to doing it. But people are really enjoying it. It's animated, and the cast members who are still alive are reprising their roles, and the people that they have cast to do the voices of characters for actors who are no longer with us apparently do a really good job, and people are enjoying the Babylon 5 animated movie.
Cool. All right. Yeah. This is a great app, man. Thanks. I'm glad that we revisited it because I installed it, but then really hadn't used it.
See, I need to do stuff like this more often where I tell you about an app 1 week and then the next week I tell you about it again, but we dive deeper so you get why you need to really be using it.
I reject that, sir.
I'm wrong, listeners, too, but what apps do I need to talk about 2 weeks in a row so that Brian starts using them and we improve his quality of life? Let me know. You can let me know on social media. I'm Jay Gamut everywhere. Send us an email. What is it? Contextmachine@gmail.com.
Contextmachine podcast @gmail.com.
Contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. All right. And you know what else we have?
What, Brian? What?
We have a sponsor, LinkedIn Jobs, man. LinkedIn Jobs makes hiring easier. Right? You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you put the right ads in front of the right people. They have simple tools like screening questions, making it easier to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experiences so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. That's very important. Do you have a purple hiring frame and you get the hashtag hiring on your profile so that people know that, hey, look, here's this person I'm looking at. It looks like they're looking to hire. These are tools that help you find people. And I can't emphasize that enough. They also have this dashboard where you can have all of the people that you're considering. You can have your job postings. The dashboard makes it easier to quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Right. And I think that is super important. And the job market remains super tight. I think I just saw some data last night about how the unemployment rate was remaining steady, and that's with the Screen Actors Guild and the SAG-AFTRA strikes. So, mm-hmm. Seriously, the job market remains tough. And if you're looking to bring people on, and you want to bring the right people on, you should really look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. And because you're listening to the Context Machine.
Old habits die hard. Yes. But yes, Context Machine. And you're listening.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. We really appreciate them sponsoring us, and we hope you'll check them out.
Yes, please.
Okay, next we have an Apple Music tip. Now, this tip comes to us sort of through John Keat.
Mm-hmm.
So he found something to complain about and then found some solutions for it.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm acting like I don't know what's going on, so that it's just compelling radio when you do that.
It is compelling. So the deal is some changes that Apple appeared to have made to song ratings on the Apple Music app.
Yeah. Okay, here's the interesting thing. Well, there's plenty of interesting things, but one of the interesting things for me, this is a problem that I have that I didn't realize that I had and have had for a long time.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So, Brian, what is this problem that our good friend John Keat found?
Well, the problem is with individual song ratings. Now, Apple has de-emphasized that a long time ago.
Boy, howdy, have they.
And in fact, I used to have individual song ratings turned on my music app. And when I went to test this, I didn't have any individual music ratings and realized that I had to re-enable seeing those. Now, Apple Music kept my individual song rating data.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, even though it probably in one of my upgrades to a new operating system, that preference got turned off. And
I'm sure it's a very intentional move on Apple's part to turn off the ratings view.
Yeah, which is because they want us to like songs. They want the mm-hmm. binary heart, no heart. And mm-hmm. I want the very granular, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 stars. But that said, I don't even know how long it's been off, and because I haven't been really spending time in my iTunes library or my Apple Music library. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I didn't realize it. So maybe they're onto something. But you can turn it on yourself with the view menu, view options. Yeah, show view options.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the under personal, there's a ton of different options of things that you can show. And under the personal section, there is a checkbox for rating. And this will add a column to your Apple Music and on the Mac. Song view that does have
individual ratings. Yep. And this is also where you would turn on album ratings. So you could see the overall rating for a whole album. And the way that's supposed to work is as you're setting your 5-star ratings for individual tracks on an album, then the album rating is calculated as an average of the stars.
Right.
That's what's supposed to happen.
But I'm just interjecting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, but.
Yes. Oh, but it turns out that's not what has been happening since at least 2015 and maybe earlier.
Oh, I just realized why I never realized this. So the deal is if you go and rate your album at the album level, it rates all of the material on that album at that rating.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I've never noticed that is because I've never ever rated an entire album. Because why would I rate an entire album? There's no album. There are like five albums on the planet that are all 5 stars, where the every song on it is a 5-star song. In my not at all humble opinion.
But if you go and rate an album 5 stars, based on what that rating is supposed to represent, it makes sense that all the tracks would get 5 stars because it's an average rating. So if you're rating an album 5 stars, that means the average for the songs or for the tracks is probably 5 stars for each one. Now, the reality is that's not, well, like you said, there's only a small handful of albums where all the tracks are going to be 5 stars. So
I'm looking at Priest Equals Aura. It's an album by the Church from the, I think like 1990 or 1991. And it's a fantastic album. I would rate that album as 5 stars, but my individual song ratings has everything at 5 stars except for 3 songs. And those are at 4 stars. I love this album,
mm-hmm.
but I'm, you know, anyway, so the point is I think the second link I sent you was a bunch of scripts to change this behavior.
Yes. And I'll make sure there's a link to this in the show notes. So the deal is part of what's been happening here is if you go and rate a song, like you haven't rated anything on an album yet, and you take one of the tracks and you rate it as 5 stars, it sets the album rating at 5 stars. And if you're changing or if you're setting other tracks on the album at different star values, your album is still rated as 5 stars, which is not what you want.
Not what you want at all.
Right. What you want is to have what it's supposed to do, which is average the ratings for all the tracks. And then that's your album rating. This is a problem that's been around since at least 2015 in Apple's discussions. When this came up at some point, well, at least back in 2015, someone who did this, Steve McGuire, he did a response to this problem by creating a series of Apple scripts that would go in and wipe out the 5-star rating that's stuck on an album and then also let you set the individual track ratings for an album and have the math happen like it's supposed to.
Mm.
And so it's a, he has a set of four different Apple scripts. So when you were telling me about this problem, and then I realized I had the problem, the first thing I had to do was turn on ratings and album ratings, because if you don't have those on, then the math isn't going to be happening anyhow.
Right.
So then I thought, okay, well, let's see how these work. And I copied the Apple script for clearing the album rating, so that would fix the first problem for me, and put it in the script editor. And then I did the same thing with the one for setting the album auto rating, which is the part that would let you set different ratings for individual tracks and then get the average for the album rating. So I had both those Apple scripts, and something has gone wrong with formatting at some point along the way, is my assumption, because when I copied and pasted these into script editor, I had to go and fix a lot of stuff. So
sure.
Yeah. And also I had to change the application from iTunes to Music, because that's how long this has been a problem. Once I fixed all the formatting and had the right application set, the scripts worked exactly as they were supposed to. So
I have an album called Seance, also by The Church, mm-hmm. where I've rated just two songs on the album. Mm-hmm. I go through fits and starts when it comes to rating music.
I'm with you.
And I see that, because I just turned on album rating too, and I see that the album rating for this album is 4 stars. So I also have this problem. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to have to walk me through fixing it.
All right. So the fix is you need first the clear album rating Apple script, and then you select the tracks on that album, and then run the script.
You need to do this by individual album?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't messed with it that much. I suppose if you selected all your music and ran this, it would set it for everything. And then when you run the second script, then I guess that, I don't know. Have to mess with it. I haven't had that much time to really mess with this, but I
gave you minutes.
You gave me minutes
to play with.
And during those minutes, I went and fixed code and tested it and even figured out where I had an album that I had ripped that I hadn't done any ratings on.
So we'll have the links to the original Apple forums, Apple discussions forum post about the problem, and then a link to the fellow's scripts. Mm-hmm. And we will also include in our show notes, and I say we because I'm saying we, but Jeff is going to do it. We're going to include a note to make sure that you change the name of the app and that you check for syntax errors from spaces and whatnot.
Yeah, and all the syntax errors really are because of missing spaces.
It's not like you have to copy redo paste. Code.
Right. I mean, when you look at the code in the discussion, if you don't know code syntax, just like generic code syntax, you wouldn't realize there's any problems. But for those of you that do know some code, you know, I can put the code into the show notes too, the fix code.
Okay, that's great.
So I'll do that.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so I'll include it for the two that I have done. And then, of course, we'll have the links back to everything else. So there you go.
So
thanks, John Keat, for making more work for me to realize that I had a problem.
I'm seeing these albums. I guess it's a good thing I just don't really care about album ratings, because I would have gone ballistic over this a long time ago if I did, because it's definitely not right. It's definitely not right.
definitely not right.
But it's interesting to me that Apple makes it so hard for us to do this. And it's interesting to me that Apple apparently doesn't want us to do this. And yet they do keep some half-assed version of song ratings and album ratings around. I mean, I realize that's probably more like no one is messing with this anymore.
Yeah, I agree. The code is in there and it's just there and it'll work until it breaks. Honestly, I was surprised the Apple scripts worked because Apple is not big on maintaining Apple script support in their own apps. So when I started messing around with code from 2015 for iTunes, I was fully expecting that it wouldn't work because Apple script features had been removed from music. Yeah. I was just assuming they had been removed.
Yeah.
But it turns out this stuff is still there, which tells me no one has messed with it. So it'll keep working until it just breaks.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of makes me wonder if they have people who love music even working on this stuff anymore.
My guess is they have people who love music working on this, but there's so much that they have to do to maintain the overall Apple Music ecosystem.
Yeah.
That stuff like this that really needs to have an automation advocate isn't going to get touched because it's not a priority. It's not broken.
Okay. But
and the automation there are other things that they're being told to do.
The automation is a workaround for the is a user and an end user workaround for a feature that really isn't working like it should. And I'm talking about the stuff on Apple's part should never have deprecated these ratings and hidden them from us. Should never have been turned into an option to to unhide them.
I agree. And my hypothesis is that because Apple knows how much any feature is actually getting used, that the number of users that were going to be impacted by this was low enough based on whatever their standards are that they felt that they would be able to get away with doing this without it being a big deal. And
to be fair, it took John Keat complaining about it to me for me to even know that it was there.
Yeah. And, I used to have ratings showing all the time and I don't know when they disappeared.
I don't either.
It's probably been years where I haven't been seeing the ratings in SongView and I didn't notice until you brought this up to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point is that Apple may be right in this calculation, but I feel like there are too many times when there are pro features or enthusiast features that get deprecated because Apple's determined that there aren't enough people to do it and that these pro features and these enthusiast features are often used by people who are, the pre social media version of influencers.
Yeah. And I think that another piece of this is that the purpose of the music app is no longer what it was when we first started using it as iTunes.
Yeah, that's very true.
The purpose of the music app is to give us an interface into streaming music where all Apple wants are likes or not likes.
Right. That is true.
And at this point, being able to play our own personal music libraries, I hate to say this, it's a legacy feature that's still in the music app.
Oh, gosh, you're right. Oh, that hurts.
It does hurt. And I have a lot of music in my personal library, and Brian, how long is it, do you think, before my personal library becomes something that I'm playing just through my Plex server?
That is a question that I don't want to answer.
I don't want to hear the answer either.
By the way, the Church album, Uninvited Like the Clouds, has all 5-star ratings except for one song that's a 4-star. I really like the Church.
maybe they should go back and fix that one song.
They should. But I also see, by the way, that I have a ton, like almost my entire library isn't actually here. I'm going to have to re-rip it.
Oh my God, that sucks.
I mean, you know, fortunately I have a blazing fast Apple Studio, Apple Mac Studio. What is it called?
You have a Studio Pro. What is it? No, it's a Mac Studio.
No,
it's the Mac Studio. It's the computer that Phil Collins uses and wrote a song about. He uses a studio.
No, come on, man. What's this thing called?
Oh, it's a Mac Studio.
It is the Mac Studio. Huh. Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Apparently I did, and so did Phil Collins.
But anyway, I have a blazing fast studio that I can rip the stuff again, because I do still have my CDs, but that's going to be a pain in the butt.
Here's the awesome thing, Brian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you have a Mac Studio, because it can't rip the music any faster than the SuperDrive you plug into it can feed the music in.
That's a good point. Oh, man, it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, it'll be a total pain in the butt. I still have a studio, a SuperDrive sitting around.
So do I.
Because I buy CDs when I go to shows like local bands, and they'll have their merch table set up.
Yeah, sure.
I'll buy their CDs because that's the best way I can support them. And then I bring the music home and rip it. And then a copy of it goes over to my Plex because, at some point that's going to be the only way I can listen to my ripped music collection.
That makes, that sadly makes a lot of sense. Folks, I just edited out a bunch of stuff that made me look like an idiot. And I'm going to, do you think maybe I could do a book reading on our show?
I would love that, actually. I think that'd be great.
Huh.
Yeah. I'm not saying that just because I'm suddenly on the spot and you're asking me, and it would be a jerk move to say no.
Well, it would be a jerk move to just sort of spring that question on you too. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So that's all on you.
Yeah.
A reading would be cool.
That is this week's Apple Context. No, it's not. It's not. It's not even. That is this week's Context Machine.
How much of this show did you actually have to edit out? Because as you said, you didn't want to look like an idiot. So I'm kind of concerned at this point that what people are hearing is the introduction.
Yeah.
Some banter.
Yeah.
We talk about LinkedIn jobs.
Not much
banter. And then we get the outro bumpers, and then that's it. Yeah, it's like a 4.5 minute long show.
That's it. Everything else has been edited out. And that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, you can write to us at contextmachine.io. You can find, I'm Geek Tells everywhere on the social medias. And Jeff is what?
I am Jay Gamet.
Right.
Jay Gamet. On all the social medias. Yes.
And our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And believe it or not, that is all for this week.
Also, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs.
And thank you, LinkedIn Jobs. We love them.